Mark chapter 5. The message today is about the giving and changing of names. I took this up in the Old Testament. I want us to consider the New Testament today. The three passages I shall read to you are similar, but each is distinct, and you will see how as we read it. I will abbreviate the reading. We're to finish at quarter till, Lord permitting. So, in Mark chapter 5, this is the incident about the man possessed with demons. Verse 1, he came to the other side and so forth, and straightway there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The man was uncontrollable, suicidal, fierce, and look at verse 5, and always night and day in the tombs and in the mountains he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not." For he saith unto him, "Come forth, thou unclean spirit, out of the man." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he saith unto him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there on the mountainside a great herd of swine feeding. And they besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And he gave them leave. And the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep into the sea, in number about 2,000. And they were drowned in the sea. John chapter 1, look at verse 40. One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted Christ. He brought him unto Jesus. Jesus looked upon him and said, "Thou art Simon, the son of John. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is thy interpretation, Peter. I shan't read Matthew 16, but let's turn to Revelation 3. I'll tell you about the other in connection with this. In Revelation 3, verse 1, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things hath he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and thou art dead." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the entrance of thy word. It bringeth light. We thank you, Father, for the light that it brought us, imparting salvation. And now we desire to know about this salvation. Even angels desire to look into these things. So you've given us your word. Teach us by thy Spirit who gave it, and bless the souls that are here today. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you like your name? Some people do. Some people are violently opposed. I have a cousin. He had a beautiful name, but somehow that name was given him by his parents, and he wanted to dissociate himself from anything his parents had given to him. And so he changed the name that was lovely to a name that was just mediocre. Now, this is most interesting. I didn't learn this till late in life, but my mother did not like her name. Her name was Blanche Penelope Norris, and she said, "I hate that name, Penelope. Penny, well, that's a very lovely name," but she wanted to change it to Margaret, and so she did. So some people have names, and they dislike the name because of its association or because of the sound, and some people have names, and they give the names to their children, and this is what is so revolting. They will think of some vile, lewd celebrity in entertainment and name their child after that individual. Whereas it used to be that people would look in the Bible and find someone that they admired and name their child after that individual. I had three names given me when I was born: John Milton Mills, and at one time in my life, I'd gone by all those names. I was known as Milton from the time I was born until I was 17 years old. But then when I enlisted in the Navy, that was all dropped and I was Mills. And so for 2 years, I was Mills. And then when I went to Canada, they said, "What is your name?" And I said, "John Milton Mills." They said, "John, welcome to Canada." So I've gone by three names. And it wasn't any doing of mine that they could change. It was just circumstances. So you're called by different names, and some people like the names, and some people dislike the names. People seldom realize that this fellow named Gus, his real name, was Augustine. Why, that's a very great name. And another man, Zeke, it was Ezekiel, which is a very good name, but they change the names. But what happens is that some of us are given names, and they are lovely names, and some of us never live up to those names. Milton, that means coming from a mill town. But John means favorite of God. God is gracious. Now that's beautiful. The only difference in this case is that God is gracious. Yes, he saved my soul. But Paul said, "The grace which he bestowed upon me was not in vain." So you're given a name, and it's a beautiful name, but can you live up to that name? And some people do, and some people do not live up to the meaning of their name. And I'm wondering about you, if the name you have is one that you should live up to, or is it a name and you'll never live it down? Some people have different names given to them, and they never live up to those names. That's why I read you Revelation chapter 3. You have a name that you live, but you're dead. That's a denial. And so some of us have beautiful names. Daniel, God is judge. You have names that have such a beautiful significance, and yet you never live up to those names. And then some of us are given names, and we never live them down. I'm thinking of the parents that gave the name Nabal to their child, which means a fool. So think, here is one, and did the parents give him that name, or was that a nickname that people gave him? But the Bible says his name was Nabal, a fool. And he never lived that name down. That's a sad thing. In the portion I read to you today, no matter what your name is, the name can be lived down, and the name can be changed, and the name can be lived up to. And it depends entirely upon whether you receive the grace of God in vain. So, this morning, I want to tell you the truth, that some of you have names, and the name may be one that's a false name. Notice that in the three passages that I read, all of them have to do with names, but in the first passage, a question is asked. What is your name? In the second passage, no question was asked. The man was told his name. The Savior looked upon the one that we later know as Peter, and he said, "You are Simon." In the first place, he said, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion." The second case, he looked at him and said, "You are Simon." And in the third case, the Lord Jesus exposed the falseness of the name that the church was bearing in Revelation 3. Isn't that a sad thing? You have a name that you live, but you're dead. And so some of us have beautiful names, and yet they are a contradiction of what we are. And some of us have names that are uncomplimentary, that those names are changed, or we live them down. You remember, for instance, in the book of Ruth, you have Naomi. That's a lovely name. But then she said, "Call me Mara, bitter." No longer pleasant, but call me bitter. Circumstances made her change her own name. But what should happen is this. If our parents have given us a name that is completely unworthy and unscriptural, it makes no difference. If I told you about the name Phoebe in the Bible, you say, "That's a nice name, Phoebe, but it means the moon goddess. How would you like to be named after a false god?" But the name was never changed in sound, in pronunciation, but she was not a moon goddess. She dissociated herself with the false gods. And Paul could say concerning Phoebe that had that name, "She hath been a helper of many and of mine own self beside." And so some of us have a name that is false because the name is derogatory, but our lives are a contradiction to that false name. And then some of us have names that are complementary, but the Savior would say, "You have a name that you live, but you are dead." So some of us, our lives deny the name that we possess. Well, the hope this morning from the passages that I've read and the ones I want to tell you about is this, that some of us are given names correctly and some of us are given names falsely. But whatever our name is, it can be changed. When God gives a name, you never change it. Because when John the Baptist was to be born, it would have been customary to call him Zacharias after his father. When they said, "What shall we call him?" "John." "Nobody in your family has that name." Zacharias, who had been stricken dumb and deaf as well, you can tell from the account, he said, "His name is John." And when he said that, then his faculties came back to him. You see, John was the name that God wanted him to have. And that's the name he had. And he lived up to that name. He was favored of God. And God, who bestowed his grace upon him, it was not found vain. And our Savior was also given the name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And at the end of our Savior's life, he said, "Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." That's beautiful. "My name is Jesus. You sent me into the world to save sinners. I'm going to the cross. Father, glorify thy name." And then he said, "The work that you gave me to do," he anticipates it is already done. He says, "It is finished." And on the cross, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And when he did, he said, "It is finished." So here is the one that perfectly lived up to his name. Everything that God sent him into the world to do and to be, the Lord Jesus Christ realized that. So when God gave the name John, that was good. He lived up to it. He gave his son's name Jesus. He lived up to it. But the sad thing is this, that at times names are given and things start out well at the first, but they turn out ill at the last. Three things are spoken about Solomon. His name means peace. And it said that at the first, when Solomon was born, that God loved Solomon. And it says that Solomon loved God. And his name was called Jebediah, which means love, beloved. So here is one who is given a name, and it's a good name, peace. That's what his kingdom was. David was a man of wars. Solomon was a man of peace. And so in that respect, God enabled him to live up to his name. But the sad thing is this, that not two times, but three times it speaks of the love of Solomon. That Solomon loved God. That God loved Solomon. But it says in his old age, Solomon loved many strange women. And they turned his heart away from God. And then God was angry with Solomon. Now that's a sad thing. At the first, your name can be one thing, and you can live up to that name. But at the last, there are circumstances and influences that can cause those things to be altered. God forbid that anyone should come between the good start that we had. God loves you, and you love God. But then, in someone's life, an evil woman come along. Gold and Babylonish garments come along and destroy Achan. And so there are things that come in our lives, and that our names have to be changed. God does more to change them, but circumstances have changed them. So some have names that are given to them by man, and God, at a time in their lives, intervenes and says, that name isn't going to be your name anymore. That is the hope this morning. That whatever your name has been, whatever it was, whether God gave it, or man gave it, all of us at one time in our life should have our name changed. Now, if I read to you about Abraham in the Old Testament and Sarah and Jacob, if we dwelt on Jacob, you would find that in chapter 32 of Genesis, that is a prophecy about Jacob's name going to be changed. But that prophecy was not realized until Genesis 35, when his name was changed. I can't dwell on that now. But just understand that at times, God prophesies, and then we live our lives, and we come to a point when God says, now, the name I told you that you were going to bear, you're worthy to bear it now. In the case of Abraham, and this is what is an encouragement. His name was Abram at first, but then some 25 years later, he says, you're no longer going to be called Abram, exalted father, but you're going to be called Abraham, father of a multitude. But he had to wait that long before his name was changed by God. And Sarah, her name was changed to Sarah, instead of Sarai, Sarah, which means a princess. So think of that. Whatever she had been in relation to Abraham, now she was a princess. She was going to be the one from whose womb issued all those of the children of Israel. Abraham is the father of Israel, but remember that Sarah, the princess, was the mother of Israel. And so this is what happens. In the case of Abraham, 100 years before his name was changed. Sarah, 90 years before her name was changed. And Jacob, at least 97 years before his name is changed. You say that's a long time to live with what you are by nature before your name is changed. That's true. To think that some are given names and their names are appropriately given. Jacob, who when he was born, had his brother by the heel. And the name Jacob means a supplanter, a grasper. And that's what he was most of his life. But God said, your name is going to be changed from grasper to Israel, a prince of God. But he had to wait until he was 97 years of age. Now you say, that's a long time. But now let me ask you, has there been any change in your name since you came into the world? You say, well, I've been born again. Thank God for that. But there was not only that change. If you are born again, then that is like a prophecy. I'll mention this. You can consider it later. You'll find that Abraham's name and also Abraham's justification is spoken of in a twofold way in the book of James. And it mentions a scripture being fulfilled that Abraham was called the friend of God. Here is something that is potential, but then later on in life, it becomes a reality. And so God looks at us, and I hope he looks at us at least as he did to Simon. And he looks upon Simon when he comes and he says, you're Simon, that's what you are now. He said that you're going to be called Cephas, that is Peter, which is a stone, a rock. But that never happened until Matthew chapter 16. Isn't that remarkable? In Matthew 16, that which Christ foresaw in him is realized. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Why, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets, he said, whom do you say that I am? And Simon said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's when the Savior blessed him and said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Thank God. So long a time, he was called Simon, which means God hath heard. Reuben means see a son. But then Simon, God hath heard my sorrow, and he's given me a son. But whatever that might have been, your name is going to be changed, and it's going to be called Peter. So if you have been saved, has God looked upon you, and has God seen good things in your future? And have you ever lived up to those things? Or do you have to wait to be 100 years of age? You say, so long. But at least after that, Abraham lived 75 more years. It's so good if we have that name potentially given to us, and then the time comes when it's realized and we live that changed life. The holiness would say, have you been sanctified? Well, we have been sanctified, but there is such a thing as making progress and forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on to things that are before, and that is what God wants us to experience today. Now, some of us are like Legion, so just take this to heart and dwell on it. The Savior says, what is your name? And some of us have to tell him our names. What if we had to tell God our name the way that Jacob did, the way that Legion did? Legion, well, why do they call you Legion? Because I'm filled and possessed with demons. What a horrible thing to have to confess to God. But that's the way to get delivered of God. To tell him what you are. Most of us would hide what we are. You'll never be saved that way. But if we tell God what we are, then God can deliver us even from the power of Satan. Here is one that is internally possessed and controlled by Satan. But with a word, the Lord Jesus Christ can free us. And after the Lord Jesus spoke the word, this man was freed from the power of Satan. What is it that controls you? Think now, here is Solomon in his old age, controlled by women, those controlled by drugs, those controlled by greed. But God can change that name, and that's what he wants. And so if we are Legion, he can deliver us and free us from the powers that control us. And if our name is Simon, he can change our name to Peter. But the sad thing is this. If we have a name that we live and we are dead, in one sense, that's a reverse order. It is something that people think we are, but we aren't. But let's get rid of that hypocrisy. Ananias and Sapphira, pretending to be something that they never were. They have a name that they live, that they are generous, consecrated to God. But in reality, they are dead, and they never got a chance to change. So think now. Is your name Legion? Is your name Simon? Or is your name Hypocrite? Whatever the name is, no matter who gave it, it can be changed. God is the God that changes names. So let him change our name for good. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, thou dost know that some of us love our names and hate our names, but that is of no matter. It's only what is true concerning us spiritually, our God. And we pray that we shall not have names that are hypocritical names. If you bear the name of Christ, O God, we all profess that name, that we are Christians. Let us live up to that name, that none of us suffer as a murderer or as an evildoer or as a meddler in other men's matters. Father, let us live up to that name that is given us. We are Christians. And some of us have potential, but our God, we've never lived up to that potential. We pray that the time shall come when the Savior said, "You shall be called Peter," that we shall confess, revealed to us by the Father, the glories of Christ, and your Son shall say, "You are Peter. You've lived up to that prophecy that I gave concerning you." So, Father, work upon us, and let us most of all have the name that you want us to have, and let us live up to that name. Bless us to that end, we pray. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.